on a Monday morning at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month, 100 years ago, that the armistice came into effect to end the Great War, the war to end all wars. And a phrase that we've heard a lot of just recently. And at 11 o'clock, the guns fell silent on the Western Front. And war had come to an end, that particular war. There's a fascinating question. How do wars end? A class of school children were asked that question on one occasion. So, how do wars end? And they had a think, and somebody came up with the idea. Well, one side says, okay, you win, and then they all go home. Which, like many things that come out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, is a pretty fair analysis of the answer there. But of course, it wasn't that simple. I printed off a copy of the front page of the Evening Standard for that day. This is what it says. End of the war. Germany signs our terms and fighting stopped. At 11 o'clock today, Allies triumphant, and then the full armistice terms. The following historic announcement, which means that the World War has come to an end at last, was issued by Mr. Lloyd George to the nation at 10:20 this morning. The armistice was signed at 5 a.m. this morning, and hostilities are to cease on all fronts at 11 a.m. today. The armistice was signed at 5 o'clock in the morning. The fighting didn't end until 11 o'clock on that morning. It wasn't until a few days, weeks, after printing that off, that I suddenly remembered that my dad worked for the Evening Standard for 50 years on the side of getting the news on the streets. He would have been a boy of 11 on that particular day, and maybe he read that headline and that information. So it's not that simple, because the fighting went on, and I'm sure you've heard people talking, people who were there talking about it, saying that the fighting went on just as bitterly and as heavily as before. War was over at 5 a.m., but the war went on for another 6 hours until finally the guns fell silent on the Western Front. Apparently the last British soldier to die in the Great War was George Ellison, 40 years old. He died at 9:30 on that morning, 4.5 hours after war had ended, and 90 minutes before the guns fell silent on the Western Front. The war had ended. Victory had been won. The peace had now to be worked out. Moving forward a few years, 4 years ago, a Japanese man died at the age of 91, Hiro Onoda. He was 91, and as I say, he died in Tokyo 4 years ago. He was just a teenager when Japan entered the Second World War. And he became a soldier, he was about 18 or 19, when Japan entered the Second World War. He was posted with his platoon to Lubang Island, which is a small island off the Philippines. And there they were fighting. His commanding officer gave the order to his proud Japanese soldiers, never surrender. You are Japanese soldiers. Never surrender. As the Allied forces, the Americans, came onto that island and pushed northwards, he became detached from his unit and found himself in the jungle. He was pushed right up to the north of the island, and was in the jungle. But he always remembered his commanding officer saying, never surrender. And so he didn't. It wasn't until his commanding officer went to find him and rescinded the order and said, you can surrender, I rescind that order, that he came out of the jungle. It was 1974. 29 years after the Second World War had ended, and he never surrendered. He didn't know. He didn't know that the war had ended. He had 40 years of freedom, and as I say, he died at 91, 4 years ago. But how strange. He didn't know the war had ended. Well, we know that we are in a fight. But our fight is not against any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. You must, says Paul, writing to the Ephesians, you must resist evil in its day of power. And even when you have fought to a standstill, still stand your ground. Because we know that the war has been won. Jesus won the war when he died and rose again. The war against the enemy is over, and victory has been won by our Lord Jesus Christ. What are our weapons? The very weapons we use are not those of human warfare, but powerful in God's warfare for the destruction of the enemy's strongholds. Our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. I rather like the J.B. Phillips translation. I've used that there in these two passages and in the further passage. J.B. Phillips, for us older people, you know, it's the Message version of the 1960s. But it's a great translation, a free translation. The very weapons we use are not those of human warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, as the old version says. We are in a battle, but Jesus has won the victory and has given us the tools to finish the job. I can't remember who said that. Well, there we are. However, we have an adversary who doesn't know that the war is over and will never surrender. Satan and the forces of darkness, they will never surrender because they don't know that the war is ended. Be self-controlled and vigilant always, for your enemy, the devil, is always about, prowling like a lion roaring for its prey. Resist him, says Peter in his first letter, standing firm in your faith. And so in a sense, using that analogy, Jesus, his death and his resurrection, Calvary was at 5 a.m. in the morning. And 11 o'clock, the 11th hour, will not be until Jesus comes back in his and deals with Satan in his millennial reign, the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's when the guns will fall silent as far as we are concerned. But the devil, he doesn't accept that and doesn't know that the war is over. And so he fights on, and so we know that we are in a fight. And we have weapons, and we must be self-controlled and vigilant, because he's always there, prowling like a lion roaring for its prey. I looked up several modern translations, modern, 1960s, more modern translations, and they all can't get away from this prowling like a lion roaring for its prey. It's a phrase that they all can't get away from. That's how they translated it. Roaring for its prey. Because he doesn't know that the war is over. Now, even as we speak today, the great and the good meet at the Cenotaph in Whitehall To remember those who gave their lives in the conflicts of the last 104 years. I hope that the weather is as it is here up in town. Apparently it's a bit mixed. But they are there at the cenotaph laying wreaths and veterans remembering what they went through, what others went through, and remembering their fallen colleagues in many wars. As I say, the Great War, the war to end all wars. Oh dear, somebody who coined that phrase didn't realize that 20 years later there would be a Second World War, and wars have gone on ever since. But I don't know if you know what the word cenotaph means. They met at the cenotaph. Every year on Remembrance Sunday, they meet at the cenotaph. Cenotaph comes from two Greek words and means empty tomb. She, thinking he was the gardener, said, "Sir, if you've taken his body away, tell me where you've laid it, and I'll go and take it." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." They were by the empty tomb when Mary met the risen Christ. Jesus has won the victory over sin and death by his death and his resurrection. We had a sermon just a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, on resurrection from Anna. The devil is defeated and we are set free from the guilt and power of death. We've passed from death to life. That's what I felt that this was saying to us. Are we on the victory side? Do we know that the war's over? When we are in the battles against the enemy? Do we know that we are on the winning side? It's no consolation for those soldiers who fought on between 5 a.m. and 11 a.m. in various theatres of war to think that the war was over. But it must have been some crumb of comfort that they weren't fighting for their very existence and the existence of their families, because as news got through to them, they knew that the armistice had been signed and that the guns were going to stop at 11 o'clock. In fact, there was one American soldier, apparently, who was killed in the Great War at 10:59. And so sometimes we know that we're in a battle. We're fighting against the enemy, that he's coming against us in various ways. But we need to know that we're on the victory side. We're not fighting for our lives. We are fighting another battle, because the devil doesn't know the war's ended. But we know that the war has come to an end because Jesus died and rose again and went back to his Father in heaven. And so we are on the victory side. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's triumph won. Now be the song of praise begun. Alleluia. A 17th century anonymous hymn. I'm sure older people know that. Sometimes we feel that we are really under pressure. We feel as if the devil has got the upper hand. We feel that if he goes on much longer, we'll be destroyed. But we have that assurance that Jesus has won the victory. The victory is ours. We're on the winning side. And we come to the devil and fight him and say, "This is just another battle, because you don't know the war's over, but we know it is. And there will come a time when you will acknowledge, you'll realize that hostilities have ended Your guns are going to fall silent. Next week we have communion. And at communion, as we celebrate it once a month, we gather round the cenotaph. We gather round the empty tomb in remembrance of him. Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood, my blood of the new covenant shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the communion service is a remembrance round the cenotaph, round the empty tomb. Do we know the war's over? Are we living in the victory? We've been looking through the book of Ephesians and the verses that I read earlier. You must resist evil in its day of power. And even when you're fought to a standstill, still stand your ground. Stand and say to the devil, "The war's over. You can't knock me down." A modern translation of one of Paul's phrases is, "Knocked down but not knocked out." We can be knocked down, but we're not knocked out, because Jesus has the victory. Do we know that the war's over? Do we know that we're saved? I'm sure you all do. Do you know? John uses two of my favorite verses, one in his gospel, another in his first letter, that we have passed from death to life if we have put our trust in him. Once we were dead, now we're alive. It's not a vain hope. You know, the world seems to think that when they come to the end, they hope that they've done enough, that they've lived a good life, that you know, they've had their ups and downs, and but by and large, on the whole, at the end of the day, God might say, "Okay, I think you've done enough, you can come into heaven now." Well, that's not how it works. We put our trust in Jesus, winning the battle against the enemy on the cross, rising again from the dead, and we celebrate that round the empty tomb. Do we know the war's over? Are we living in the victory? Living in the victory. It means, yes, there'll be battles, and we'll lose some battles, but at the end of the day, we can come to the Lord and say, "Sorry, Lord, I failed today, but I pray for your strength for tomorrow." As the phrase goes, never give up giving up. Always start the new day knowing that we're on the victory side, that we've passed from death to life. That we know what we believe and we know why we believe it. We know what we stand for and we try to stand for what we know. So the war is over. As the Great War eventually came to an end, as the Second Great War came to an end, as our Japanese friend came to realize that the war's over, he didn't know. For 29 years in the jungle, he didn't know the war had ended. But we know. It has ended. We know that we're on the winning side. We know that God gives us the strength to fight the enemy and to win against him. Martin Luther had a dream on one occasion in which the devil came to him and said, with a great scroll, you know, the comedy routine where they say, "I've got a few words to say," and they hold up the scroll and it goes right down to the floor and all over the place. And the devil said, look at all these sins, Martin. Look at all these sins, Martin Luther." And Martin Luther said, Take your pen, O Satan, and write at the bottom, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all sin. And then you can imagine, if you visualize it, the devil going, gah, poof, and disappearing. Because Martin Luther knew, he came to know, didn't know for quite a while. He was trying to work his way, do the best, be good enough to enter heaven. But eventually he came to realize that it is by grace we're saved through faith. And then not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Even the faith that we have to come to God has been given to us by him. So, I thought it would be good to join together in the great Easter declaration in a moment together. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hallelujah. Let's say that together. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Hallelujah. The war's over. Let's go forth and live in the victory and see the victory in our lives, because God enables us to do that. Let's go forth and spread the message of the Prince of Peace. The war's over. The victory has been won. The peace must now be worked out. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So let's open ourselves up to him and allow him to give us the strength, to give us the power, to give us that inner strength to know that as we come up against trials and temptations, that we have the power to resist. And if we resist, then the devil will flee from us. He doesn't know the war's over, the devil. We do. So let's go forward in that victory. Let's go forward and spread the message of the Prince of Peace. Amen.